Bible. Just a life update. I mentioned last week as I was preaching that I hoped that on Thursday morning my grandma would feed me breakfast. Guess what? She did. And it was as good as I hoped it would be. After breakfast, I was in the floor at my grandma's house fighting with my boys. You know, it's supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to fight with boys. Rough them up and tough them up and get them where they should be. Anybody who doesn't know, I'm raising a toddler sumo wrestler. And things were going good, and I was fending them both off, and my attention went from Zach to Luke, and I'm fighting Luke, and you know, it's just one-on-one, so I've got him pretty good. And about that time, a cheap shot takes place. Zach, at full force, with all 480 pounds of himself, lands right on my face with both knees. So the moral of the story is, if I say something tonight that doesn't sound quite right, it's not my fault. Okay? Things are spinning a little bit. I'm not quite seeing your faces, so we'll just see how it goes tonight. James chapter 1, let me ask you a question tonight. How many of you want to be blessed? Now, I think we can all say that we want to be blessed. Well, how many of us tonight own a copy of God's Word? I think probably about as many of us would say as we want to be blessed. So let's look at James chapter 1 and verse number 22, where the Bible says, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Look down at verse number 25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." In this passage, we find that James tells us exactly what we need to do to be blessed. He echoes the words of Scripture and the truth that we find within its pages over and over and over. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man." The psalmist is going to give us more instructions on how to be blessed when he says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Isaiah tells us a little bit about God's word in Isaiah chapter 55 when he says in verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." He says in verse 11, "So my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please." And listen to this, "And it shall prosper in the thing whereinto I sent it." God tells us that where his word goes, it blesses. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, Joshua is taking the reins of this nation of Israel, and God says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous," and then, that is not my phone, "then thou shalt have good success." He's telling us, he's showing us a pattern here, that as we spend time in God's Word, that God's Word gets into us and it changes us. It takes us from what we were to what God wants us to be. So what should we do with it? James tells us that we should obey it. Psalm 119 verses 1 and 2 say, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Verse 2, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart." Do you ever find yourself struggling in the Christian life? You find yourself constantly saying yes to the things that you should say no to, and find yourself constantly saying no to the things you should say yes to. Well, tonight, let's examine this passage from the book of James and learn and understand the blessing of doing. The blessing of doing. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. We're thankful for your love for us. I pray tonight that you would work in our hearts. Lord, help us tonight to not just hear this word and be the same, but Lord, that we would hear your word and go away as doers of your word. I pray that you be with our pastor as he's away tonight. Protect him and be with him. In Jesus' name, amen. Men do not like following instructions. Wives, you can say amen. How many of your husbands have brought home a box full of unassembled parts before? Ever had that happen? It may have been a swing set. It may have been a piece of furniture. It may have been a gas grill. You open the box, and right on top, there's a white paper booklet, usually wrapped in plastic. And men, what do with that? We sit it aside. Right, we don't read it. We set it aside because there's exciting things in the box. There are nuts and bolts and pieces of hardware and all sorts of things that we can assemble. And you lay everything out and you begin to assemble it. Now, how many of you ever gotten to the very end and realized you put something together backwards? Have you ever done that before? And then you have to unassemble what you just assembled? You feel kind of like those guys on those 90s infomercials where they just can't get anything right? And you're taking things apart and putting them back together. And then, how many of you have ever gotten to the end before and you find extra parts? Anybody ever done that before? And you go, it'll be all right. But no matter how hard-headed we are, eventually, you have to return to the instruction book. I've been there in those scenarios, and I've gone back and reread the instructions, only to find that I missed something the instructions were telling me to do, and because of that, it caused me heartache and extra time. Now, let me ask you a question. How many times have we sat in a church service, and knowing that God was speaking to our hearts, knowing that He was working, knowing there was something we were supposed to do, and we turn around and we go our own way without doing anything? How many times have we had our devotions and God speaks to our heart and says, hey, you need to hear this. There's something you need to change right there. And we close our Bible and we walk away going right back to what we were before. Maybe now the Holy Spirit deals with our heart about the thing that you're doing or an area that you should improve. And you know that God has something to say. And you're here. Tonight, will you be a doer as well? Let's look at these steps to being blessed by being a doer. The first step tonight is to hear the word. Hear the word. Look at verse number 18. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We see here in verse 18 the blessing of the word. He says, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. We were born again as believers because God gave us something. Because he gave us a word. Because we have something that we can look at and allow our lives to be changed. Just think tonight about the blessing of the Bible. God loved us enough to give us his word. What a book. We've got access to God's story about himself. He tells us where we came from and where we're going. He gives insights into how much he loves us and the fact that he has a plan for our lives. Has that ever occurred to you? That the Bible is God's love letter to you? That God has got a message for you and you can pick it up daily and read it? The world is wandering around and they're looking for someone to love them and they feel hopeless and they feel like their lives are full of despair. But as Christians, we've got hope. As Christians, we don't have to live that way. How is it that we have hope when they have no hope? How is it that we have direction when they have no direction? How is it that we have salvation and they don't? Because we have access to God's Word and we read God's Word and it changes our lives. Some people feel like their futures are without hope. They wander aimlessly from relationship to relationship, from job to job, from addiction to addiction, and they never know what's next, and they have no expectations for life. But God tells us in His Word on multiple occasions that He has a plan for our life, and He has a purpose for our life. God's Word is a blessing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." He says it there. We know we know about salvation. We understand what God has for us because it's in the Word of God. You ever open one of those little Gideon's Bibles and read the poem in the beginning of it? It says, "This book reveals the mind of God and the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, and the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here too, heaven is open and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject and good its design. The glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. We see that God's Word is an amazing book. What does it do for us? Well, it lights our way. Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do you lack direction in life tonight? Spend time in God's Word. It tells us exactly where to go and what to do. The world is constantly asking, what is truth? Well, God's Word is truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them through Thy word. Thy word is truth. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God's Word gives comfort. Aren't you thankful for those difficult times when we can open God's Word and its pages comfort us? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God's Word gives us counsel. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13, take hold of instruction and let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. So what does he tell us here? What is he telling us? He's telling us to cleave to God's Word that he's given us. Of his own will, verse 18, begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. The word begot refers to a birth. Through the word of God, we are spiritually born. And then it calls us first fruits. The figure here is taken from the Jewish law that would require these Jewish believers to give back the first fruits of what has been created. The point of the illustration here is that Christians, like first fruits, should also be consecrated to God. The expression first fruits is used throughout the New Testament. And can I ask you a question tonight? Are you consecrated to God's word? He tells us in his word that we are important to him. Here's the question. Is he important to us? He saved us for a purpose. He's given us instructions for life. Will we follow them? Will we be what we should be? Look at the instructions from the word. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's interesting here that these verses appear to point back to earlier verses in James 1 on trials and temptations. How many times do we go through trials? I preached about last week, and then temptations, and we always have something to say. Is that ever you? Right in the middle of a difficulty, and we just have to say something? He tells us here to do the exact opposite of what we would naturally do. To be swift to hear. We're normally swift to speak, aren't we? Things happen and we've instantly got to say something. Many times we want everybody to know how much we know about the Bible, and the reality is we never take time to learn it. We can stand and tell other people about the Bible and give all the instructions we want, but the question is, are we willing to listen to it and learn it for ourselves? It's interesting, this term here, swift to hear, means that we should hurry up and listen. Listen as fast as we can to what God's Word has to say. It's been said, your grandma probably said it, that God gave us two ears and one mouth that will listen twice as much as we talk. And he's telling us, instead of constantly talking, instead of constantly jumping into things, sometimes we just need to sit back and listen to God's word. Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, and he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. That probably should be my life verse. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So often we're quick to speak. He tells us, don't be quick to speak. Be quick to listen and see what God has to say. As we go through these difficulties, instead of getting angry and instead of speaking out, listen. Our words reveal what's in our heart. That's not always good. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you just marinated in the Word instead of trying to figure it out? Sometimes we try to speak for God. Instead, we just need to let God speak. He tells us first off to hear the Word. Then he tells us to concentrate in the Word. Look at verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He tells us here to avoid our sinful nature. Can I tell you why many times we struggle with our devotional life? Why we struggle to concentrate on what God's saying to us? Because our mind is filled with everything but God's Word. We get in our car and we listen to the devil's music. We turn on our TV and we watch the devil's shows. We open books and we read the devil's book. And then we sit down in that last 5 minutes of the day and try to read our Bible and say, God, why don't you speak to me? It's because we're not spending time with Him. Our mind is filled with everything but what God wants it to be filled with. This word filthiness here refers to dirt, filth, or impurity. You ever moved a couch while you're cleaning? And you can see the tracks where you walk around the living room, but under the couch is cleaner? Why is that? Because dirt is constantly being ground into it. Brother Kevin is an expert over here. He knows about the dirt in carpet. And the more we walk on it, it grinds into it, and it eats the carpet, and just creates all kinds of issues. That's like our lives. They're slowly but surely soiled by the dirt we put in them. How many impurities are in our lives? They're sins, but hey, we say they're not terrible sins. But little by little, our lives get dirtier and dirtier and dirtier, and then we wonder why we feel like God doesn't speak to us. It never fails. Somebody will come in my office and they're doubting their salvation. And every time I ask the question, how is your devotional life? You spend any time in God's Word? Every time, without fail, this is the reaction I get. You know why? Because we stop spending time in God's Word. We stop having fellowship with God. And before we know it, we've drifted further than we ever realized. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, refers to the filth of the flesh. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, says that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. He tells us that when we get saved, it's like an old coat that we just need to take off and put on a new coat of God's righteousness. But we keep going back to the old coat. We keep wanting to wear the things from our past life and do the things of our past life. And he's saying, get rid of that stuff. Put it behind you. I've given you a word. I've given you instructions for life. Just live in them. That's what we must avoid. Then we get to the term, really fun words, superfluity of naughtiness. Very proper. What is it saying? It is referring to the abundant wickedness that we possess. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. I'd say if any of us in here try to convince ourselves that we're not wicked, we're fooling ourselves. As Brother Vernon said this morning in his message, I wish I could say there was a day that went by that I didn't sin, but my heart is sinful. My flesh desires to do things, and sometimes you ever catch yourself thinking, why was I thinking that? He says that we've got this naughtiness built into us. We've got this sin nature that we just can't seem to get rid of. And he's saying that if we're going to be what God wants us to be, if we're going to grow as Christians, if we're going to defeat the things that are holding us back, we've got to get into God's Word. Because the reality is, the filthiness in our minds leads to filthy actions. It's important to understand that we've got to clean our minds. Not only should we avoid our spiritual nature, but then we've got to, avoid our sinful nature, then we've got to engraft our spiritual nature. Look at the end of verse 21. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Notice it here. Once you kick out the bad stuff, you are supposed to put the good stuff in its place. Many times we think if I just get rid of bad things in my life, I'll be okay. Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 12, it doesn't exactly work that way. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, Jesus says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, and swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. The problem is that we just try to stop sinning. But that's not enough. We never fill the empty spot with the right stuff. James tells us here to replace the sinful nature with the spiritual nature. As I mentioned in Ephesians, you take off the old coat, you put on the new coat. He says to receive with meekness. The word meekness, gentleness or humility. Many times we read God's Word, we have clear instructions, and we do not receive it with humility. We're masters at justifying our own sin. Oh, I know what it says, but my circumstances are a little different. There's never a good reason to do wrong. It's never right to sin. We've got to look at what God's Word says and let God's Word be the authority. Notice here he calls it the engrafted Word. This is an implanted thing. This is not natural to us. This refers to a tree that is being grafted. In tree grafting, an arborist will slice open a tree and delicately place a small branch of another tree in that opening. This will allow for more fruitfulness from the base tree. See, those two trees, you can see the color difference. They're not the same. They're placing the good benefits of one tree with the good benefits of the other, hoping for an excellent benefit. But many times when things are engrafted, they reject each other because it's not natural. You know what else is not natural? Reading God's Word. I mean, I mentioned it. We can sit there and we can read whatever we want. We can scroll social media for hours, watch TV for hours, do all these things, and we pick up God's Word and we look into it and, oh my goodness, what happened? What did I just read? You ever done that? You read five chapters and you go, what in the world did I just read? What in the world? You know why? Because the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God. It is not natural for us to read our Bible. And he tells us that with humility, we are to receive the engrafted Word of God. He tells us how to allow God's Word to change our lives. But how? To not just be a hearer, but to be a doer. He tells us in verse 23 to feed our spiritual nature. Look, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So how do you do it? You starve the flesh. You take off the old man. You fill your life with God's word. We say it all the time. Read your Bible. But many times we fail to do so, or we're just checking the box. You ever done that? I have. We checked the box. We got our daily reading done. What was it? I don't know, but we got it done. Can I tell you, that might soothe your conscience, but that doesn't change your heart one bit. It doesn't help us to just blaze through it. How many times do we open the Word and read an amazing passage and then forget it? He says, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We jump in and we check off our reading and we walk away feeling spiritual only to ignore the truths we just read. Can I tell you that you can read a diet book all you want, but unless you put the principles in place, you're still going to be fat? I speak from experience. Unless you apply what this word says, it will not change your life. He says, deceiving your own selves. I'd say that many times we're not nearly as spiritual as we think we are. I've read my Bible so many days straight. What did you get from it? How did it change your life? How did God speak to your heart? This phrase, deceiving your own selves, gives the idea of betraying yourself by false reasoning. Man, how often we lie to ourselves. Most of us have been saved long enough to know God's Word, and we've sat in church and we've heard incredible preaching that has been prayed through and labored over. We've sat in Sunday school classes for years and heard lessons that have been labored over, and we know the Bible. But many times I think we fit the description of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, that we have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Being a hearer of the Word is amazing. You can be blessed. But if all we ever do is come in and hear the Word and go out and come in and hear the Word and go out, we become numb to God's Word. You ever sit in a pew as the preaching's going on and you think about all the changes you need to make? Do you ever make commitments to God during spiritual times like revivals or different times when God's working in your heart only to back away from that commitment as time goes on? Many times we're only here. How crazy is that? And then James makes what may be my favorite analogy in the whole Bible. Look at verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Anybody ever wake up after a good night's sleep? Like, you know, you wake up and you don't know what day it is and you don't know what time it is. And you don't even know where you're supposed to be. I mean, you have been absolutely out. And you look in a mirror, and your hair's all matted on one side. I never understand how my eyebrows get goofed up, but they do. Slobber running down this side. Stuff coming out of both eyes. You wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and scares you bad. And the idea here is that we get up and we look into the mirror and we see a major flaw. This word beholding doesn't just mean to look and walk away. It means to peer deep into. And he says we get up and we look in the mirror and we see all kinds of problems. We go, huh, those eyebrows are bad. That hair looks terrible. There's slobber running down your face. I think I'll start my day. we would look at this and say, that guy's crazy. But how many times does God's Word speak to our heart? It shows us areas to get rid of. It shows us areas to work on. It shows us areas to move forward in. It shows us areas to back away from. And we look into it and we understand it and then we walk away unchanged by it. He says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. It's not that we missed it. It's that we understand it and ignore it. And then he says, being not a forgetful hearer. We grow up in church, we hear the preaching, we read our Bible, and we consider it only to forget it when it's convenient. My kids do that. Do your kids do that? Parents, they ever forget? Hey, buddy, clean your room. You walk in there an hour later, I forgot. Did you finish your homework? I forgot. How? You have it every day of your life. How do you forget to do it? How often do we hear what's right only to forget it? Verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Will you look into the Bible and remember what it says? Not just to hear it, but to obey it. He says, and continueth therein. Every day you wake up and you determine, I'm going to obey it. I'm going to obey it. I'm going to obey it. Paul said, I die daily. It's important to let God's Word speak to us. And then every day wake up saying, Lord, I need you to help me with this. Yeah, there's chances I don't really know what your weaknesses are, but I know what mine are. Many times the first thought when I wake up is, Lord, will you help me with this? Lord, will you help me with my struggles today? Spend time in God's Word. So we should hear the Word, concentrate on the Word, then we should live the Word. Verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. We see here that the Word will affect our attitude. Look at the difference the Bible makes. When I get in the Bible and let it get in me, it changes me. The Bible isn't just a book of rules, it is a book that we should allow to rule our lives. It will change everything about us. It's important to understand that we do a lot of talking. You do a lot of talking, I do. And we need to be careful of what we say. Almost 20% of our lives is spent talking. It's been estimated that the average person speaks 18,000 words per day. Think about that. In 365 days, that would be enough to fill 66 volumes of 800 pages each. It's 54 pages a day. And he tells us here, we got to bridle our tongue. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. James 3:6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. We've got to understand the natural desires of our words. Naturally, for some reason, we want to tear others down. We want to build ourselves up. I don't know why, but we want to gossip and hurt other people. And he says here that a person who isn't just religious, but is saved, will bridle their tongue. We forget the power of our words. We can help others or hurt others. As I mentioned, life and death are in the power of the tongue. How do you use your words? There are people who literally end their lives over the words of another person. But there are also people whose lives are enhanced forever because of the words of somebody. A spiritual person will help with their words. but then it will affect our action. Look at verse 27. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. If that's not a description of social media today, I don't know what is. All right, right at the top, Jesus first. And then our hearts are nowhere near that. I tell you that reading God's Word will cause us to love others and to avoid the sins we so easily fall into. I've spoken with waiters and waitresses and people on customer service, and you know what they constantly tell me? Guess what the worst crowd is every week? The people that they hate to deal with. Sunday crowd. The Christians coming out after church. They say that they're the grouchiest people and the greediest people and the most demanding people. You know what that is? That's because Christians are hearers and not doers. I get on social media sometimes and I'm ashamed at what people who call themselves Christians post. They're so unkind to people. It's terrible. Acting grouchy and slamming people, and then the next thing you know, they're inviting people to church. And then we wonder why the world around us laughs at us for trying to say there's something different about us. James tells us here that it's going to affect our actions. Look at the end of that verse. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. This book will change our lives. And you know what I'm afraid of sometimes? I'm afraid that in our eagerness to do right, we almost make the Bible appear just to be a rule book sometimes. Do this and don't do this and do this thing that way and not that thing that way. And he tells us here that when God's Word gets into us and it changes our lives, people won't have to tell us how to be unspotted from the world. God's Word will tell us how to be unspotted from the world. Amen. And that we'll live that way. The question is tonight, are you a hearer or are you a doer? I want to encourage you tonight, spend time in God's Word. Let it change your life and experience the blessing of doing. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. We're thankful for your love for us. God, I'm thankful for your word. Lord, tonight while I'm preaching, I understand that I'm not perfect.